did such a great job with those announcements. Maybe I'll have you take over here, okay? And do that on a regular basis. You do it way better than I do it. And so I appreciate you. And of course, Mason, I appreciate you guys. Love you guys. Just exciting to see, you know, the Lord working in Mason's heart. I know for quite a while now, several months back, you know, he talked to me. I know he's talked to maybe some of you. I know he's talked to Aiden just about God working in his heart. And I feel like God wants me to preach, and praise the Lord. You know, 14 going on 15. You haven't hit 15 yet, right? You're getting close. But praise the Lord when God works on the heart of a young person to serve him. I remember D. Wells, Brother Dennis Wells. You know, Chad was here with Kirsten right around Christmas time, I think it was, yeah. And Derek was getting married, so Derek's married now. But Brother Chad's mom, D. Wells, she was like 12. And God spoke to her heart that she knew she was going to be a missionary's wife one day. She just knew it. And so she just trusted the Lord, and eventually she married Brother Dennis Wells. And Brother Dennis wasn't right, you know, ready to go to a mission field when they got married. I mean, he was living for God, but when Dennis got saved, it wasn't, I don't know how long later, but he answered the call to go to a mission field. And so God used, you know, he was working in Dee's life as a 12-year-old, knowing she was going to go to a mission field. And they went to Papua New Guinea, and they were there for close to 30 years or so. And then, you know, Dee is with the Lord now, and Brother Dennis is, you know, I know his heart broke to see his wife go to heaven because he misses her like crazy. But it's just neat when God works in the hearts of young people. So I'm excited about what the Lord's doing with Mason. And, you know, he was willing to bring a message tonight. Man, way far ahead than when I was a 14-year-old. I would have never wanted to get up in front of people at all. But before I turn it over to Mason, I want to bring up Brother John Ackerman. Brother John Ackerman is dealing with that double pneumonia. And I was just talking with Viona just here just a little bit ago that she found out that Adam took him to the emergency room tonight. Okay, so I'm going to just have a quick word of prayer for Brother John. Let's be praying for him that God will put his hand on him and help him to turn the corner. You know, we know how serious pneumonia is, but now it's in both lungs. And so let's lift up Brother John before the Lord. And then Brother Mason will be coming up in just a moment. Father, we come to you tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we can look to you. You're so gracious and so kind. And Lord, you love your children, Lord. And we just bring Brother John up before you. And Lord, he's certainly had a lot of health issues. And one thing I appreciate about him is he's always got such a wonderful spirit about it. Ever since we've known the Ackermans, he's been dealing with all kinds of things, whether it's cancer or the cellulitis, the infections he's had in his legs. And every time I visit him, he's always cheerful. He's always got his mind on the Lord, and he's always looking for opportunities to witness. What a blessing that is to me. And Lord, he's back in the hospital right now in the emergency room, and I pray, Father, that you'll be with him, be with Adam as well as he's with him. I pray that you'll put your hand upon him, help him to turn the corner with this the double pneumonia. Help him, Lord, to see some healing. And Lord, we just pray that you'll be with Viona. It's good to have her here with the girls. And so we just pray that you'll put your hand upon her, calm her heart. And I just pray that you'll help Brother John, Lord, in a tremendous way. So we thank you tonight that we can look to you for him. And thank you tonight. We thank you for Mason, who's going to be coming right now and bringing a message. I pray you'll just calm his heart and help him to just trust you and look to you and just deliver your word to us. So we look forward to it, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Brother Mason, I'm turning it over to you.
Amen. Hi, everyone. How's everyone's day going? Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel 16, verses 1. And then I'll read verses 1 through 13 in a little bit. But I just want to bring out this real quick. If I get longer than 2 minutes, I'll be very happy with that, because Aiden's first message was 2 minutes. And if I get longer, I can brag about it with him. But I'm just joking, Aiden. I'm sure you did great. But I also want to bring out these, like, this three things, or actually 5 things, about this message that I want to bring out. And I'm going to give a little bit of my testimony first. I was born and raised in a Christian home, just like Josh. I was 7 years old when I got saved. I was living in Idaho for like a year, and then I got saved. It was a Wednesday. Then I went to Wana, and then I like told Pastor, I told all my leaders and stuff like that too. But I was, and then if fast forward to maybe, I'm 14 now, fast forward 7 years, I was totally away from the Lord. I wasn't reading my Bible. I wasn't praying. I just wasn't close to him as I am now. Oops. And like a couple months ago, like 3 months ago, I think I talked to Pastor about, and he's been working on my heart, being called to preach, which is like a huge blessing, because I'm sure it's a blessing to you guys too, because as a young person, I want to live for the Lord now, and I didn't want to back then, but I'm a changed man now. I'm trying to read Proverbs every day. I fail all the time, but I mean, God forgives. We serve a God of second chances, which is amazing. Right?
That's
right. Yes, sir. I'll bring up four things now. These three message goals that I want you guys to take out of this message is understand the importance of preparation. Oh, wait, hold on. I forgot to say my title. One sec. My title is Dare to Answer God's Call. And that's, like, been working on my heart, telling me to, like, preach this message because he's trying to get me to answer his call. And a bunch of people are, God is constantly calling people to go, like, serve him or go do whatever he's calling to him, and they ignore him. And that's just a sad thing to see in this generation, too, because I'm not saying any of you guys have done that. I'm not, like, putting that out there for you guys. But number two is choose to be dedicated to the responsibilities God has given you. Just dedicate your life to him, and he will bless you for all you've done for him. We need to strive to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant, right? And we need crowns, and I forgot what the song was, but it's like, I forgot what it was, but it was like, when we were going to lay our crowns before him. I think it's a song back in the sound booth. But number three is choose to submit to the leading of God. We need to follow him, and we don't need to direct ourselves. God is the ultimate controller. He needs to direct us. Turn your Bibles to Revelation 3:20. Sorry, I made you turn to the wrong one, but turn your Bibles to Revelation 3:20. And David was the only one who answered God's call time after time from his youth, just like how I am, and to the end of his life. He listened and obeyed God's commands. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Every call begins with salvation. I got saved when I was 7 and God worked in my life. 7 years later, it just doesn't matter. You could be saved at 50 and God could work in your life at 64. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm going to pray real quick to just help the Lord to calm my heart, and hopefully I can be a blessing to you and help me to get out of his way. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything that you do for us. I'm going to pray for John Ackerman right now as he's in the hospital. Just heal this pneumonia with him and help him to turn a corner, just like Pastor said. I want to pray for me as I'm preaching right now. Just calm my heart, calm my nerves too. I want to not be in your way. Just put me to the side and help me to be a blessing to these people who came here today. Thank you for all you've done for us again, and thank you for letting us get here safely and these icy roads. Bring us back here safely Wednesday and take us home safely tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's good to get excited about the Lord, because Aiden told me, like, if you walk around, you can, like, the nerves come out a little bit, because he does that too. So you can just walk around and stuff like that. But it's good to get excited about the Lord, because my dad showed me a video, and Aiden too. It was Alvin Martinez. He was singing a chorus, and he was going, like, higher every time, right? And, like, the guy in the back, he was, like, I don't know who he was, but he was in the back, and he was standing up, and he was clapping and stuff. It was so good. But I know it's good to get excited, because, I mean, it could be embarrassing, because I just got a little embarrassed, but it could be embarrassing, but, I mean, God's going to bless you. We're just praising and worshiping him. My first point is David's preparation. Every man who is mightily used by God starts, or like men in Joseph, Moses, and the Apostle Paul, went through a preparatory stage before engaging in the ministry. That's what everyone has to go through. Like Aiden, he's an intern now. I keep using Aiden for all these things, but Aiden, he's an intern now, and he's starting his ministry by working in the church, preaching, giving him opportunities and stuff, and he's helping pastor with whatever he needs help with. That's like just, you're like starting here at the church, and then who knows where God's going to call you next, right? Joseph's time of preparation was filled with trials and tribulations. Whatever God has put you through is for a good reason. He's not just going to put you through something that'll hurt you, because he doesn't want to hurt us. And he's going to put us through something that we can handle. Like if, say I don't know, say my parents died just out of coincidence. Don't, like, take anything that. But I'm going to be able to handle that, right? Because God, he tells us that anything that happens to us, we can handle. I'm just paraphrasing right there. But or say I'm walking down here and I fall and I break my leg. I'm still going to be able to handle that because God doesn't put anything through us that we can't handle, correct? I don't know. I forgot what I was going to say. But, yeah. I lost my spot. Hold on. The Apostle Paul's preparation for God's call began with salvation. Every one of our callings does, and I said that a little bit ago. On the road to Damascus, he waited 3 days without food, without water, and without sight. And if you turn to, and before he called God, before God called Paul, before he called him, I keep saying that. What was it? Before God called, before God called Paul, he waited without food, water, and sight. There we go. Come on. Turn to Acts 9:9, and that gives us a clear thing, like how he dealt with all that. The Bible tells us in Acts 9:9, and he was 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. It just tells us straight then and there, like that just gives us a clear example of what he went through and exactly what I'm saying. He doesn't put us through anything we can't handle, and that's just a clear, like, vision of how, like, the Apostle Paul just did great with handling it, and then he waited. He was patiently waiting for God to call him. For a building to stand, it must be on a strong foundation and not sand. There's a song, like a kid's song. I don't remember how it goes. I'm sure Miss Sharon knows, but it's like in the house went splat when the sand forgot, yeah. And then that's just a clear thing for kids, I guess. It just goes like, I don't know. I don't know how to like explain that. But you guys get what I'm saying, right? The wise man built his house upon a rock. And then, there we go. For example, the Willis Tower, formerly known as the Sears Tower, was the tallest building in the Western Hemisphere from 1974 through 1998. It is a 110-story building that stands over 1,400 feet tall. You guys can look that up if you don't believe me. It's there. To support its massive height, the tower has a cement foundation that is 100 feet deep, which is just crazy to me because you don't even think that it goes that deep. You don't even think that there's anything under it. You just like look at the building and you're like, wow. Surrounding this foundation are 200 circular caissons, which are set in solid bedrock and provide additional support. Although the foundation cannot be seen, like I just said, by those who walk by it, it is the most important part of the building, for without the necessary preparation of the foundation, the entire building would crumble, correct? The beginning of David's life was a time used to prepare his heart for the foundation of his life. Just like how the tower is just has a foundation of 100 feet deep. It doesn't matter how long the preparation could be. He could still be working in your life for the preparation, and then someday he could be called to you like a pastor, a doctor, whatever it might be, right? I have subtitle points, too. I don't know if that's what it's called, right? Okay, and I have subtitle points for the letter A is he learned to know God. As we read the book of Psalms, we quickly realize that David had a deep personal relationship with God. We need to have a relationship with him so he can guide and direct us in our lives. Reading your Bible and praying, just like how I didn't do for a couple months, was bad on me, and God forgave me for that. But now that I'm reading my Bible and praying every day, or I'm trying to, is he's working in my life and I'm building a relationship with him. And hopefully one day I can have a really strong, firm foundation with him. David learned how great God was. How well do you know God? Does he know you? Do you have a relationship with him? Or does he know you and do you know him? Like, how well do you know him? There's a difference between knowing someone and, like, really knowing someone. Right. See, like, we may know sports figures, like their stats, their height, their age and stuff, but their personal dislikes and likes. But who in here knows who Michael Jordan is? So, like, everyone, okay? Who in here knows who LeBron James is? I didn't look over here. I keep looking over here. I need to, like... Who in here knows who LeBron James is? There we go. Who thinks Michael Jordan's better at basketball? I see Mr. Ray. He's reasoning, so I'm way up here. Who thinks LeBron James is better? Aiden and Micah. Come on. Aiden likes and Michael likes LeBron James better. It's just like the same thing. They probably know a bunch about LeBron James or Michael Jordan, right? But they don't really know him, like, personal. Like, I see Aiden laughing. It's trying to make me laugh. Come on, Aiden. I see, like, they don't know him. Like, they didn't go up to shake his hand or meet him, right? Did you? No, exactly. Did you? And you guys never met Michael Jordan and LeBron James either, right? No one has, okay. Or I have, but I'm just saying. Just kidding. No, I haven't. We don't know like them, but we must be our way of saying we know God is God in the same sense that we might know a sports celebrity. There's a great difference between knowing about God and knowing him. We all can know about God. Like, if we witness to someone, you can be talking to them and they're like, oh yeah, I know God, and they're saying, they're living their life the complete opposite of what they're saying. My other subtotal point for point one is B. He learned to use his gifts. When we think of David, we think of a sweet-spirited, a great musician, and a valiant warrior. Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel 16 through 18. Chapter 16, verses 18. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty, valiant man, and a man of war, and a prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. The Lord was with David throughout all his life, throughout beating Goliath, throughout all his trials and tribulations that he went through. You know one thing that David got really good at? Anyone know? Yeah, that too, but that's not the thing I have on my notes. The sling, yes. He got really good at that because he beat Goliath. He was over 9 feet tall. I have no idea how much he weighed, but someone out there probably knows that. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 18, verses 16. We're going to be turning about, like, a lot of scripture because I like to preach from the Bible and not just talking about stories and stuff. But just get your hands ready and your fingers. Hopefully your fingers aren't cold, because playing video games with fingers or with cold fingers is like the worst. God gives every believer gifts from his perspective. Like saying, I'm not trying to brag. I'm not bragging at all, but I'm athletic. I can just play sports. I have the ability to play sports, and I'm blessed with that. Micah and Josh are too. Morgan, she can play the piano. Pastor, you can preach really well. Dad, you can preach really well. Aiden, you can preach really well. There's a bunch of people in here who can preach, like Brother John Jordan too. All the guys in here can preach really well, okay? So let me read Proverbs 18, verses 16 now. The Bible says, he that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul, but that despises his ways shall die. Was that the wrong verse, or was I good? Yeah. Okay, I think that was the wrong verse. I might have put the wrong reference because that doesn't really make sense, but I'll just read it anyways. It is our responsibility to develop these gifts so that we can be tools fit for the master's hand. Morgan's been playing piano for a while. She developed the gift so she can play with our church, and that's a huge blessing. The Lord's going to bless her for that for sure. And all those people in the back row, they can play music. Mr. Raylar can sing really good. And those three right there can, they have abilities to play the clarinet, the flute, and then the piano. So that's a blessing too, because they're using their gifts for the master's hand instead of using it for secular music or Spotify or YouTube. Instead of trying to get famous, they're using it for the Lord. It is said that the great violinist Niccolò Pagani, I think I said that right, willed his violin to Genoa, the city of his birth, with one condition: it must never be played. Unfortunately, the wood from which the instrument was crafted began to decay because it was not regularly handled. Thus, the exquisite violin that once sang beautiful, mellow tones under Pagani's touch soon became to deteriorate while on display. The once priceless instrument, now worthless. See, now you can't even play it because it's decaying and he didn't use it for God's ability. And he was like, yeah, no, this can never be played because it's mine and I don't want it. It's for a museum, I think it was. But that holds a lesson for us because our gifts are only valuable as they are used. Just like I said, everyone's playing for the church and that's blessing and they're using for the right reasons. We need to ask ourselves what gifts God has given us that we ought to be using for him. It is also appropriate to ask ourselves what gifts we can develop in others. Like witnessing, we can develop a really strong gift we can be a super good soul winner and a super good preacher, and that's using it for the Lord. That's using what God has called us to do. I'm just thinking of this right now. It's like a rabbit trail, but Mom, do you have like a track at all? Because our calling technically is supposed to be witnessing, praying, and reading our Bible, right? Mom, everyone's called to do that. Pastor, I'm going to use you as an illustration. Say I'm walking down the mall, okay? I see this guy. He looks sad. he looks sad. And I'm walking down the mall, and I just like, yo, or not yo, but hey, how are you? What's your name?
Hi, I'm Ruben.
Nice to meet you. I'm Mason. Could I give you an invite to our church?
Sure.
Thank you. Have a good day. And then you walk away. But then here, give me it back. And then you say no. Can I give you an invite to our church?
No, thank you.
Oh, okay. And then you walk away all embarrassed. And then you're like, I never want to do this again. I just got rejected and I hate it. I don't want to do it. But then the Lord's like, go give a track to that guy. Go give a track to that guy. And the devil's like, well, no. Remember back that time when you got rejected? And like that's temptation calling us to like go away from doing what the Lord wants us to do.
That's right.
And then you walk away and then you end up doing it. But thankfully, like I said earlier, we serve a God of second chances, and that's amazing. We're very blessed for that. My second point is David's dedication. Preparation proves unless it is accompanied by dedication. David spent hours practicing with this thing, but he ran when he confronted a bear and a lion and a bear. And then one day he was able to beat Goliath, because he practiced hours and hours trying to just swing it and throw rocks at it or a tree or something. And then he just finally got it down, just where Morgan, she finally got down with the piano. I keep using Morgan and Aiden, but I mean, they're good examples. So my subtitle point for number two is letter A. He was diligent on the job. David's main responsibility as a boy shepherd, was to protect his father's flock of sheep, just like God protected us, like we were lost sheep. Say I'm walking down here, and I'm walking down, and there's like a huge cliff, and I'm like, almost fall over it, and then I barely see it. That's God protecting me, and from his angels, or his angels sent him to protect me. Or we could go out of the exit right there, and we could slide, and then, I'm not trying to scare you guys, don't like, I'm not trying to scare you guys, but we could walk out there or drive out there, slide, and then someone could T-bone us and we could be gone like that, right? Our life is but a vapor. I'm paraphrasing like that again, but I don't really know the whole verse. Our life is but a vapor, and it could be gone like that. But God is protect us, because if it's not our time, it's not our time. If he uses us for the right reasons, or if we use our gifts for the right reasons, he'll bless you, and he'll give you a lot of time left. Or if it's your time to go, then it's your time to go. That's as simple as that. David's own brothers scorned him, but David took his job serious and did it with all his might, just like whatever job we have to do. I like to mow lawns in the summer, or I mow my lawn. And I don't do always the best job. I just kind of like speed through it because I just want the money and I just want to be done because it's hot outside. But I shouldn't do that because the Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, can you turn there too? I forgot where Ecclesiastes is. Does anyone know where it is? After Proverbs, okay. Thank you. Ecclesiastes 9, verses, chapter 9, verses 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. It says right there, my coach last year, he had a verse for us, because he goes to Heritage Baptist Church. He had a verse with it. It was, I forgot what it was. I think it was this verse. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Because he teaches us to just go full strong. Even if we're losing by 58 points, he tells us to just go like all the way until the end. Until the fourth quarter, until the last buzzer. I have a quote, and it's by Dr. F.B. Meyer. Don't waste your time waiting and longing for large opportunities, which may never come, but faithfully handle the little things that are always claiming your attention. That's a really strong quote. I don't really know who that guy is, but I just saw it somewhere. But don't waste your time waiting and longing for large opportunities. Faithfully commit yourself to the little things that God has put you through. My subtitle point for letter two is, he fulfilled his responsibilities. David's responsibility was to keep his sheep and take food to his brothers were mineral tasks. Even his oldest brother, Eliab, questioned David's motives. David remained at his post, keeping the sheep, just like Jesus protects us and watches over us, just like I said a little bit ago, with the cliff and the car, and God protects us all the time. One thing how long am I going? Am I going, like, am I talking super fast? Like, am I good? You're good? So I feel like when you're up here, I feel like it's like, you think it's like 40 minutes and you go and you look at your watch and it's like 5 minutes. It's like crazy. But I forgot to say this at the start, but I appreciate you guys being here. It's a lot more appreciative when someone comes to church when you're the one teaching and preaching. Because you're like, oh yeah, they came up to show me. They show up to hear me preach. And I'm like, oh wow, that's very kind of them. When God calls someone to be a Sunday school teacher, a doctor, a pastor, or whatever it may be, we must listen and do what God wants us to do. We must obey him as we are his children. Just like my earthly father, I have to obey him. If he tells me to take out the trash and I don't always obey, which that's my fault. we have to obey him, and whatever he's calling us to do, we have to go do it if we're saved, because that's the first thing that the first calling is salvation. And we have to have someone that is there to tell us about the salvation that God gives us and the free eternal life of gift, or the gift of eternal life too. Or else we'll be spending hell and eternity with the devil. I'm thankful that my mom on the Wednesday told me about salvation. Thank you for that. Letter three is David's, number three is David's revelation. It was only after David's preparation and dedication that God revealed his call on David's life through the prophet Samuel. As we follow God's leading, he leads us further. One of the hardest things to do as a believer is wait on God's timing. We need to pray and be in the word of God to have peace and understanding that God's in control, right? Because if you're waiting on him to call you to, or waiting on him to, if something that you want, especially if you want something, you want it like now, right? But God may be like, maybe, and then you have to wait a year. But we just need to be patient. Or he may be like, no. And then you're like, oh, dude, come on. And you're like waiting. But then if he says maybe, you could be waiting 2 years and then it finally happens. That's just a clear picture of being patient and waiting on the Lord. Turn your Bibles to Psalms 27:14. The Bible says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Right. Wait on the Lord. That's just simple as that. Wait on the Lord. Yeah. The Lord calls us to certain places, and we just need to wait for his timing. He waited for God's timing, is subtitle point A. Time after time in David's life, he waited for God's perfect timing. He waited for God to lead and guide him wherever he was supposed to go. There's a song I listen to sometimes. It's In God's Perfect Time. It's by the Clark Family. And I'm just going to sing to you guys the chorus because I don't know how good it'll be. Just don't trust that it's amazing. But it's In God's perfect time, he's never been late. His plan for your life is worth the wait. In God's perfect time, he will always trust. When the moment is right, the answer will come. In God's perfect time. Yeah, I mean, it's a clear example. The song is perfect for waiting on the Lord. We must learn to wait on God. For like David, we often need strengthening and preparation to enter God's call. In Isaiah 40, verses 31, turn there with me. I forgot where that was, too. Anyone?
Isaiah 40, 31.
Yeah, I forgot where that was.
Right after Ecclesiastes.
Okay. Still trying to find it. I can't get the right chapter. There we go. Oh, I still have the wrong verse. Verse is 31, right? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That's a Like you said, it's a really good verse. It's a perfect example about like this point right here is you shall run and not be weary, and you shall walk and not faint. My second subtitle point for number three is B, and he accepted God's commission. There is a large difference between knowing what God wants us to do and ultimately doing what God wants us to do. From that time on, he knew his destiny. Just like David, we need to be eager to serve the Lord immediately with any tasks he calls us to do. I have a video I like to share with you guys. It would be up on the screen in a second. But it's just a Navy recruiting commercial, and it's a call to serve. And it really touched my heart because I'm getting called to preach the gospel. And can you guys pray for me on that? Because this generation, my age especially, there's a lot of bad influences in my life too. Well, not in my life, just around this whole world. But Joey, you can go ahead and put up the video. And then Chris, can you turn off the lights too? Thank you.
The call to serve. It has no sound. Yet I have heard it in the whispered retelling of honorable sacrifices made by those who have served before me. The call to serve has no form. Yet I have clearly seen it in the eyes of men and women infinitely more courageous and more driven than most. The call to serve has no weight, yet I have held it in my hands. I will commit to carry it close to my heart until my country is safe and the anguish of those less fortunate has been soothed. The call to serve is at once invisible and always present. And for those who choose to answer the call, for their country, for their fellow man, for themselves, it is the most powerful force on Earth. America's Navy, a global force for good.
Thank you, guys. I'm going to have you guys bow your heads, and then, Pastor, you can come on up. I'm going to do a little bit of an invite, just like Aiden did this morning. If God's laying on your heart to get called somewhere, if God's laying on your heart, whatever it might be, if you're getting called to preach, if you're getting called to be a doctor, if you're being called to be a Sunday school teacher, if you're being called to just pray, even on Saturdays, if you're being called, if you can't go out, and you're being called to pray, I would challenge you, if there's any sin in your life that you're trying to deal with right now, challenge you to come to the altar. I challenge you to get right with God, and we serve a God of second chances, and I said that earlier. But thank you, Pastor, for this opportunity, and you can come up now.
Lays out several calls in our life. That first call, of course, is what Mason brought up, in that call to salvation, and I hope everybody here has answered that call